You're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. It's more fun to believe.
Third year bonus.
That's why there ain't no good poetry no more.
Next week on Cowboy Poetry, Trip Coltrane reads to us from his acclaimed memoir, Grocery List.
Hey, everybody, this is Ryan Singer. Thank you. I think we were just coming in on the tail end of another program. You know, I don't know. I just joined this new network, so I'm not sure what shows come on beforehand or what are antecede or precede the show. So, you know, I hope you enjoyed it. If you were listening, and if you're still listening, I want to say Happy New Year to you, 2022. What a interesting combination of numbers. It is, it's going to be your year this year. It's going to be our year this year. Excuse me, I'm starting to, I got a little bit of a cough. I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I've been a little bit under the weather since just after the holiday. It is, you know, very likely. I mean, I have the vaccine, the Moderna vaccine. I also have the Moderna booster shot, but it is still very likely that I contracted COVID-19 Omicron variation or variant. I'm just 99.3% certain that I contracted it, in my travels to Ohio for the holidays. I'm back in California now. I have been isolating and, you know, and by the way, I feel I haven't had more than just like a little bit of a kind of an annoying cough from time to time. And I felt like I had a cold, like a very mild cold. So I've been very lucky. The vaccine works, one might say. One might say that the vaccine did a really good job of making sure I didn't feel extremely sick. I believe in science. I mean, this is a paranormal podcast, and I believe in the efficacy of vaccines. That should be stated for the record. You know, I suggest you go get one if you haven't. I feel great. I feel fine. I'd like to read to you today from Extraterrestrial, The First Sign of Intelligent Life Beyond Earth, written by Avi Loeb. We've been going through this book for a while now. I was so busy with so many things that my reading has really lacked, but I'm back. I'm back on the reading. My goal is 24 books this year. That's a goal that we've set in our house over here, 2 books a month. So we're going to get 24 books this year, which is very doable. I've done this in the past. So let's see here. Because I want to talk about aliens and extraterrestrial life. And I also, you know, I went back to Post Town not too long ago. I think it was the 13th of December. I was back in Post Town. What a fun night that was, doing an investigation with Eric Connor of Epic Paranormal. And his girlfriend was there with us. It was the three of us. We had a really good, fun time. He goes live. I mean, he's like live on YouTube and live on TikTok and all this kind of stuff while he's doing his things. He's got, you know, a lot of moving pieces happening. Anyway, we had a really good time. We had a lot of action happening. I look forward to going back. I will be going back to Post Town. I do have a date in the books, in my mind, with my buddy Karen Rontowski. So that'll be happening, you know, relatively soon here in 2022. I cannot believe Karen's going back this quickly with me. This is going to be great. It's going to be a good time. I want to find this one. I knew I should have marked it. Oh, yes, here it is. Loeb writes about, you know, the whole book is just really, really good. If you haven't had a chance to check this book out, I highly recommend it. I'm really enjoying it. Loeb is talking about the death of his parents and, you know, life in the universe in general. And, you know, what forms does life take and where does life come from and what materials compose the life that we are living and the bodies that we inhabit. So this is from 126. The mystery of Oumuamua began shortly after my father died, in January 2017, and unfolded as my mother's health declined. She was diagnosed with cancer in the summer of 2018 and passed away in January 2019. My father, David, was laid to rest in the same red soil in which he planted trees all of his life, in the vicinity of those plantations that he watered routinely, near the house that he built with his rugged hands and that I grew up in, surrounded by the people he loved and who loved him in return, under the blue sky that I study as an astronomer. My mother, Sarah, who put me on the road to thinking as a philosopher, with whom I spoke daily throughout my adulthood, and who especially gifted me with a life of the mind, was buried beside him 2 years later. In astronomy, we realize that matter takes new forms over time. The matter we are made of was produced in the hearts of massive stars that exploded. It assembled to make the earth that nourishes plants that feed our bodies. What are we then, if not just fleeting shapes, taken by a few specks of material for a brief moment in cosmic history on the surface of one planet out of so many? We are insignificant, not just because the cosmos is so vast, but also because we ourselves are so tiny. Each of us is merely a transient structure that comes and goes, recorded in the minds of other transient structures. And that is all. The death of my parents brought home to me this and other fundamental truths about life. We are here for a short time, and consequently, excuse me, I gotta find my glasses. I'm reading. I have glasses. Consequently, we are here for a short time, and consequently, we had better not fake our actions. The last part too. We can talk about being transient structures. I love that. I love that the name for a band, or the name of a podcast would be good as well. But this part here too. We are here for a short time, and consequently, we had better not fake our actions. Let us stay honest, authentic, and ambitious. Let our limitations, very much including the limited time we are each given, encourage humility. And let us allow the small filter, which represents the extent of our own lives, give us an approachable and sobering context for Hansen's great filter, which represents the end of our civilization. Now, this is a little more of a complicated and a very nuanced discussion that he's having about filters and about basically the long and short of it is Hansen argues talking about like Drake's equation and these things, what if in fact the civilization, by simply being able to develop technology to travel the cosmos, by simply having that advancement in technology, you are also advancing the risk of destroying yourselves on a mass scale, because that's how advanced you are across the board, right? So if you can travel through the cosmos, you can definitely wipe out, you know, your civilization through nuclear warfare, et cetera, through germ biology warfare, things like that, right? So is it in fact plausible that any civilization that develops the ability to travel through the cosmos has wiped themselves out, which we seem hell-bent on doing, by the way. We just can't get along with each other. It's unfortunate. So that's what the filter thing is he's talking about. With Hansen's great filter, which represents the end of our civilization, with insufficient care, diligence, and applied intelligence, humans have proven themselves all too comfortable with ending the lives of their fellow humans. Of all the lessons we can learn from Oumuamua, the most essential might be that we cannot allow the small filters of war and environmental degradation to grow into a great filter. We must exercise greater care, diligence, and applied intelligence in the preserving of our civilization. Only in this way can we save ourselves. During my years of military service, there was a phrase we were taught during infantry training, to lay your body on the barbed wire. Sometimes faced with extraordinary circumstances, a soldier must deliberately lie down on barbed wire to allow his fellow soldiers to use his body to safely cross over. I am not so grandiose as to imagine my experience is the equivalent of such a soldier's sacrifice, but mindful of the specter of the great filter and ever mindful of the shadows of those who have come before, and in their turn have sacrificed to advance humanity's common cause, I find the image inspiring. Of this I am certain. The tenuous threads connecting humanity's earthbound civilization as it exists today and the promise of humanity's possible interstellar civilization as it might exist tomorrow will not be upheld by exercising conservative caution. In the words of Rebbe Nachman of Breslov, quote, "The whole world is nothing but a very narrow bridge, and the key is not to be fearful at all," end quote. So there's some interesting topics here, and he also touches later in the book, he touches on Winston Churchill's essay that he wrote that was discovered in 2017 in the archives, and I think the museum at a college in Missouri, previously undiscovered, an article or an essay written by Winston Churchill called "Are We Alone in Space?" He later changed it to "Are We Alone in the Universe?" I have, as of yet, been unable to get my hands on the original essay. I believe it's 11 pages. You can find a lot of references and quotations to the article or to the essay on or inside of articles that are written, but you cannot, I have not been able to at this time find the actual essay, the PDF to download. And once I do, I'll be uploading that over at the Patreon, patreon.com/Ryan Singer. Excuse me. I wasn't coughing all day until I like started recording. It's so strange. But Winston Churchill talks about how, you know, clearly we're not alone in the universe. And you know, there's just a lot of resources out there that point to the company that we keep, whether we know it or not. There's an article called "Communication with Extraterrestrial Intelligence." It is over at NSA.gov. This is the declassified documents section, cryptologic spectrum. I mean, there's I can post a link to this as well. This is 17 pages. Basically, I'm just going to give you the gist of it. It kind of kicks off with, "We are not alone in the universe. A few years ago, this notion seemed far-fetched. Today, the existence of extraterrestrial intelligence is taken for granted by most scientists. Even the staid National Academy of Sciences has gone on record that contact with other civilizations, quote, is no longer something beyond our dreams, but a natural event in the history of mankind that will perhaps occur in the lifetime of many of us," end quote. Sir Bernard Lovell, one of the world's leading radio astronomers, has calculated that even allowing for a margin of error of 5,000%, there must be in our galaxy about 100 million stars which have planets of the right chemistry, dimensions, and temperature to support organic evolution. If we consider that our own galaxy, the Milky Way, is but one of at least a billion other galaxies similar to ours in the observable universe, the number of stars that could support some form of life is, to reach for a word, astronomical. As to advanced forms of life, advanced by our own miserable Earth standards, Dr. Frank D. Drake of the National Radio Astronomy Observatory at Green Bank, West Virginia, has stated that, putting all our knowledge together, the number of civilizations which could have arisen by now is about 1 billion. The next question is, where is everybody? And so, it's interesting because you can, you know, like we were talking about, we referenced Drake earlier, you know, the Drake equation, which most people are familiar with, this Hansen filter, which I had not heard of. It is an interesting idea. And it seems plausible that at least maybe a handful of these civilizations that also developed interstellar travel maybe destroyed themselves, potentially through climate change, through pollution, through warfare, or just had pandemics or diseases wipe them out. Who knows? But it's not beyond the realm of possibility to understand that the rise in technology also can lead to the rise of, you know, destroying oneself on a larger scale. I just watched a movie the other night, two nights ago, called Don't Look Up. Adam McKay. I mean, does anybody make better movies than Adam McKay? I'm not sure. I'm not sure they do. Can't recommend that one enough. Check it out. It's on Netflix. So anyway, transient structures that come and go. This leads me to a certain train of thought when it comes to couching this whole discussion, which I have started to do, through, you know, through a scientific lens and through esteemed sources. We're talking about Winston Churchill, we're talking about Drake, we're talking about Hansen, we're talking about, you know, declassified documents from the NSA's website. I'm talking about mathematics, numbers, probability, etc. The need to lean on traditional science and even non-traditional science, which many scientists would consider, you know, quantum physics to be non-traditional, I believe. And, you know, and it makes me think of, you know, spooky action at distance, which is one of the most famous lines of all time when it comes to this, to, like, you know, magic and the paranormal. And then, I mean, think of it bigger, though. Spooky action at a distance. Like, what could be more of a distance than deep into outer space where there's other civilizations? Now, is it possible that something that another civilization is doing, another advanced, intelligent civilization, creature, life form, etc., is affecting our conditions here on Earth or affecting our behavior here on Earth from a great distance away? From, is there spooky action from a great distance happening here? And we don't even realize who's doing it. Now, that kind of has a little bit of a conspiratorial bend to it. And that's not where I'm trying to go with this. It's just an interesting thought that occurred to me actually just now as we were as I was talking. So, transient structures, couching the discussion in scientific language, ideas, theories, thoughts, trying to ground it, right? We're trying to ground a discussion that takes place in the stars, which seems a little silly when you say it like that. Now, I believe there's a need to get away from our reliance on, you know, what it is we understand to be, like, legitimate science, mainstream, acceptable, et cetera, when it comes to the validation of many paranormal things. Is it not as important to be building out and fine-tuning our intuition and our, dare I say, telepathic abilities, as it is making sure the lens on the Hubble telescope is clear? Now, there are groups of people who get together certain times of year and they do group meditations and set intentions, and it's wonderful stuff. I don't know if you've ever partaken one of these things from a distance. You can do it at home. You don't even have to be around people. But it's, you feel a part of something bigger than yourself. And it's well worth the try if you haven't done it before. There's a reason that churches tell you that there's power in prayer when it comes to numbers. When you're with other people and shared energy is being focused onto a similar thing, there's something in the moment that is exciting about that. whether you've been to a marriage ceremony, a baptism, or any other kind of thing like that, any other kind of ritual, any other kind of ceremony, any kind of rite of passage, you have witnesses. What is the purpose of having a witness? To add some juice to the event, right? Add some energy, bring some additional force to it. It amplifies it. Witness, right? It's a big word. It's a large component of so many things that are valuable, esteemed, and I guess just part of our culture. You have to have a witness when you get married. You have to, you know, I mean, it's like there's, we value the idea of the witness. So when it comes to witnessing the extraterrestrial, witnessing the paranormal, it is such a personal event that when it happens to a large group of people, it is more profound. When you hear stories of hundreds of people calling in to like the sheriff's office reporting the same lights in the sky, those stories hold more weight than an individual calling and saying they saw something in the sky. Should it be more weighted? I'm not here to say it should be. I'm just here to acknowledge that it is. So, trying to organize group sightings, CE5 is a good example. You get a group of people together and you initiate contact. But trying to organize these things, I mean, I don't know how many of these things get organized every year. It would be fun to organize one. We should organize one. I'm going to organize one. We should try to organize one. Can we pick a day when we know a UFO is going to show up? Not necessarily, right? But, I mean, unless you want to do the initiating protocols. It would be fun. To try to get a large group of people together and initiate a sighting, right? To have a bunch of people see it at once because it would have more gravitas. It would have more weight to it, right? In that way. Transient structures. Recorded in the minds of transient structures, these events, these sightings, these lives that we live. Loeb's got a great way of writing. I do think that our intuition is the telescope here. And I think that the more we lean into it, then this is not to say that we abandon all scientific method. But the more we lean into all of us understanding that our intuitions need to be more tuned up, more finely tuned, more honed collectively, the more and more people who are doing that on the planet, the bigger the satellite dish becomes, right, for sending and receiving signals. And I think we're headed in that direction. And I think we are headed in that direction with, you know, the last handful of years, the way the spirituality awakening, and I know it's got a bad name for some people, and I know crystals and, you know, all this other spirituality woo-woo stuff has been so commercialized and monetized in so many different ways and in some respects. But there's value to it. There's value to the core tenets of these things. And you know, when we find ourselves drifting away from them, when we have relied on them at times, I know I can speak from experience, it's easy to feel disjointed. It's easy to feel like you're out on the float, like you're a little bit lost. How do you get those roots back in the ground? How do you plant those roots, right? Get that nourishment. from Earth outside of these organized religious structures that are money-making machines, bastardizing the same stories, cannibalizing the same stories over and over and over again with different nuances, right? There's nothing new, right? There's no religious tale that is an original story. They're all cannibalized and regurgitated. So knowing that, we can either get back to the source of it and figure out, well, where is the source of these stories? And then, you know, you start realizing, oh, the sources of this are, you know, you just keep going back. You just rewind the hands of time to find the source material. And you also go with your intuition. You go with your gut. What are your instincts telling you here? Whether it's about, you know, should I be taking my shoes off in the dirt and meditating? Is it, should I be looking to the sky more often? Or is it, I don't even necessarily need to see a UFO. My intuition tells me we are not alone and therefore I know it. Should I be fine-tuning my psychic abilities, my telepathic abilities more? And am I disregarding the tuning that they already have naturally? Am I shrugging off messages, information, universal knowledge that is inherently built into my transient structure? I talk about this all the time. The lizard that hatches from the shell breaks through the top of the sand and instinctually knows to run toward the water. Genetic memories. We have genetic memories. We have genetic trauma. That's being talked about a lot in the last 5 years. We have knowledge that is passed down to us on our hard drives. How do we tap into it? Is it the Akashic record? Is that the hard drive inside all of us? Or is the Akashic record just another name for something else? Aye, aye, aye. Where's Manly B. Hall when you need him? Transient structures. It's just such a cool thing. It is really cool to hear a scientist write about, let us stay honest, authentic, and ambitious. Let our limitations, very much including the limited time we are each given, encourage humility. How much humility are you seeing around you nowadays? I'm guilty of it just as much as anyone. By the way, how much humility are we practicing? The death of ego is best served, is best created, I should say, and fostered by service to others. And that's in that's one of the most profound things I took away from the book, The Death of Forever by Daryl Rainey. You don't need to just do mushrooms every day. You can be in service to others and kill your ego. You know, Sturgill Simpson sings, woke up today, decided to kill my ego. That doesn't mean he smoked DMT. You know, there are other ways than psychedelics to get to that. So, this idea, you know, if you ever watch Top Chef or you ever watch one of these shows, who are we cheering for? Who are we pulling for here in these shows? We're the ones that are the ones that are humble, the ones that show humility, not the ones that are braggadocious and, you know, I'm here to dominate, or I'm the best and I'm going to show everybody I'm the best. You know, the one who talks down to other people, treats servers like shit, or, you know, no one likes a chef like that, right?
They're a favorite of the show. Yeah, because they show a little bit. They show some humility. They're one of the best chefs in the world. They're showing humility. They're being humble. And whether it's all for show or not, I mean, I'm not here to tell you it is or it isn't. It's television. Come on. The point is, it's easier to root for somebody who is at least pretending to be humble or have humility. At the very least, we know that. You've got it in you to be part of the satellite dish. You already are part of the satellite dish. We all are part of this giant satellite dish. Our intuitive satellite dish is pointing towards the stars. We are ready to be receiving these messages. We are already receiving these messages, many of us, certainly. Now, some people will try to take advantage of this idea, right? And you know, for whatever reasons, I don't give a shit what their reasons are, because they all just kind of fall off to the other than what it's really about, right? You got what this is really about, and then you got everything else. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the other stuff is, and what shade it is, or, you know, what smell it has. It doesn't matter, right? So we are expounding forth into the universe, into the galactic neighborhood, into the community, right? And our destiny lies in the stars, and our destiny, that doesn't mean it doesn't lie here on Earth as well. Earth is in the stars in that way. But I truly believe, much of the same way Avi Loeb believes, that we need to stop spending all this money on the war machine, and we need to start figuring out how to create a fake sun. The sun will burn out, dude. The sun will burn out eventually. What are we going to do about it? And here's the funny thing about human beings. Oh, we do so much for family. It's all about blood. Blood is thicker than water, right? Blood is thicker than water. You'll do anything for your children. Or, you know, people, you know, they go above and beyond for their family, right? But the further away you get from being direct family, the less people are going to be doing for you, right? You know, the blood gets a little thinner, and the actions become a little less drastic that one is willing to take, so to speak, right? You know, people will do anything for their children, people will do anything for their parents, their brothers, their sisters, etc., even their grandparents. How many of you listening to this know the first names of your great-grandparents? It's not that far away from us, right? How many people know the names of their great-great-grandparents, right? Or their great-great-great-grandparents, okay? So when you think of it in a backwards kind of way, now think of it in a forwards kind of way. How many of you really give that much of a shit about, like, what your great-great-great-grandchildren are going to be doing? Do you really care that much about what your great-great-great-grandchildren will be doing, where they'll be living, whether the planet will be nothing but a plastic island on a molten lava, you know, smorgasbord of fucking carbon and chaos? I mean, do we really care that much when it starts to get more than just a couple degrees of separation away from us? So when it comes to saving the planet, that's why I think some of these rich people who are, like, destroying the planet, the corporations, right, who are the ones really doing the damage, these huge manufacturing companies that are fucking everything up, they don't give a shit because they don't give a shit, right? They just don't really care. And because God is money, and people think money will save us from anything. You know, when you worship money as your God, you believe that that money will give you salvation. So who cares if the world goes to shit? Your money will be able to save you and yours from the impending shit, so to speak. Little do they realize that that is not the case when it comes to destroying the earth and being a livable habitat for humans. I mean, the earth is not going to be destroyed by us.
but we will destroy the living conditions for ourselves. I mean, it's just baffling. People don't give a shit, and it's baffling. It really is. And I don't believe in an alien Jesus. I'm not here to promote the alien Jesus. The little green man in the sky is going to come save us from ourselves. I don't think that's going to happen. And quite frankly, it shouldn't happen. Why are they beholden to save us in our entirety? I don't think that's the case. I do, however, believe that us getting our shit together, writing the ship, and expounding, like I said, into the intergalactic neighborhood as part of a, you know, beings of light and of consciousness is the future. These bodies that we're so tied into still, and I've been just as tied down to my body as anybody else. You know what I mean? I was a teenage boy. Okay? I was a teenage boy who went through puberty for 25 years. So I get it. I get it. Right? But our future is these beings of light and consciousness, you know, with a limitless expansion throughout the universe and, you know, without the boundaries of time and death. And that's exciting. It's exciting, right? There won't be baseball cards there, but guess what? I'm okay with that because it sounds really, really exciting. I think that's going to do it for today. Happy New Year, 2022. Let's do this. Let's do this year right. Let's become these limitless beings of light and consciousness, shall we? And we'll set up a mass sighting. At some point, maybe this year, maybe we'll do it this summer, if we can all be around each other, which I think we will be. I think everybody's going to be around each other by the summertime for sure. I'll be doing a tour, I think, late spring. I'll be announcing dates. I'm trying to do a spring break tour, so it's going to be mostly Florida dates, I think, so I can go see baseball down in Florida during spring training. But with my buddy Steve Miller, I'll have more information on that. I will be touring a lot this year, hopefully, because I need to make money to survive, and that's how I do that. So I hope to be seeing you out on the road. We filmed a comedy special late October of this past year. I'll have more updates about that as soon as I have them. I have no idea where and when that's going to be available, but you know, you will have more information as soon as I have it. Crystallize is available on Android. It's on iTunes. If you're a Kickstarter, if you're a waiting list person, you're waiting for your free access. I'm telling you, I'm promising you, it's coming any moment now. You can use the free version in the meantime. Do me a favor. Download Crystallize from the App Store. Give it 5-star review. Write a 5-star review. Like, actually write the review out. That would be so helpful to us. You know, we're really trying to do something special. We got Narayana Mantuvar doing the horoscopes. We've got Rontowski. We've got my buddy Angelo. We got all kinds of people doing content. We're going to be connecting you with ethically sourced crystals very, very soon as well. It's a little more difficult than you think to find some ethically sourced dealers and retailers. Oh, I got a sneeze coming out. Oh my goodness, did you hear that? That was a good one. That rattled my body. Have you ever embraced a lover or someone close to you when you've sneezed? I'm telling you, if you've never done that, you got to do it. You got to hug someone tightly when you sneeze, and it's like nothing you've ever experienced in your life. Or in fact, they've never experienced it either. It's like you diffuse the rattle through their body. It amplifies it, but it also diffuses. It's very strange. So Crystallize, get in there, give us a 5-star review. I'd love you for it. And if you write a 5-star review for the app, screenshot it, send it to me. I'm gonna enter you into a contest to win free prizes. We've got very limited sizes of some hoodies. We've got some other things we can give away. But do that, and I'll. I'll enter you into the raffle to win free prizes. I appreciate you. I love you. I hope you love yourself. I hope this new year is going to be the best one you've ever experienced. We've got nowhere to go but up from here. All right, everybody. Lots of exciting stuff coming out this year. And I can't wait to share it all with you. My TikTok channel. I'm actually going to be doing TikTok. I got some characters I'll be doing on TikTok. The Patreon. I made an $11 level. I think there was still people at the time. I changed it to $1 and $3. Like, I feel like a year and a half ago. But I think there were still people at the old tiers, which I had no idea that was happening. So if you're like one of the old tier levels, you'll probably, I apologize for this, but I didn't do this previously, but I'm going to grandfather those levels into the $11 level. Like, I'm talking like the $7 level, the $10 level. I'm just going to grandfather those into, so any post that is only for the $11 level will also be available for those people who have been donating at that higher level all this time that I didn't even realize they were still doing. So my apologies if you're like, hey man, I've been doing this at a higher level and I'm not getting any of this other stuff. My apologies to that. That was a total oversight on my part. I feel foolish. I feel like a fool. So yeah, I'm going to get cracking on. We're going to do a Patreon only video once a week. That first one, but on Wednesday. Okay, I love you. Like I said, we'll talk to you soon. And you know, we're gonna do our darndest to have, you know, two a week again moving forward. 2022. Got to have two for 2022. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I hope to see you soon. You know, RyanSarahComedy.com has my tour schedule, which has not been updated with anything for this year yet, but dates coming soon, I'm sure. And if I don't see you at a show, I'll see you.